Blog Talk Radio.
The French journalist and novelist Jean-Baptiste Alphonse Carr once said, "Some people grumble that roses have thorns, but I am grateful that thorns have roses." Do you see the thorns, or do you see the roses? This is A Rose by Any Other Name, live here today on the Perspective Power Radio Network. Welcome, everybody, to the 31st day of January of 2016. It is straight up 12 noon Eastern Time, and this is Perspective Power, the show that comes to you live every Sunday at this time on the Perspective Power Radio Network. And, of course, we give a wonderful, wonderful round of applause and lots of heartfelt gratitude to you for tuning in, as well as to our theme song creator, the award-winning artist David Martinka. You can find his music at redbellymusic.com. and sunshadows.net. And, of course, you can join the Perspective Power tribe on Facebook at facebook.com/Perspective Power. A Rose by Any Other Name. Seeing the glass half full, seeing it half empty. It's a cloudy day. Well, gee, you don't have to go out and mow the lawn. Gee, it's a rainy day. You don't have to go out and mow the lawn. You know, there's so many ways to look at life. When I read the quote at the beginning of the program, "Some people grumble that roses have thorns, but I am grateful that thorns have roses," gives us the opportunity to realize that with a shift in our perspective, gratitude actually can be the energy that we live with. When we find gratitude for things in our lives, whether or not they are things that we could or should or might normally be grateful for, we generate happiness inside of ourselves. And I saw an interesting conversation on social media today where somebody had stated it, they couldn't remember the last time they found happiness in their lives. All these things that they wanted in their lives that would bring them happiness, good health, lots of money, mobility, the opportunity to travel, to see things that they had seen before that they really enjoyed. And because they couldn't do that, they weren't happy. And I thought to myself, well, not that you're right, not that you're wrong. It's just the way you see things, and, you know, that's everybody's prerogative to choose. However, by looking at my life and paying attention to what other people have said, not just in recent time, meaning the last week or so or even the last year or so, but people have done exhaustive studies, people meaning doctors, business folk, entrepreneurs, your neighbors. You just never know who's connected to all of this. But they've done exhaustive studies where they have literally proven that what brings us the happiness are not and is not all of these things that we say, well, gee, if we don't have these things, we're not happy. It is our perspective regarding what we do have or what those things around us, like the roses and the thorns, can bring us, regardless of what they have going for them. I don't know how many times I have picked up a rose and gone, ow, because I stuck myself by a thorn. Now I can throw the rose down and say, oh, curse you, rose, for having that thorn. Or I can say, ow, and throw the rose down and say, oh, curse you, thorn, for piercing my flesh, because all I wanted to do is smell that beautiful rose. But the idea is, roses have thorns. If you don't know that and you're surprised by it, I can totally understand the reaction. You weren't expecting it. All you really were interested in was smelling the rose or getting it closer to your eyes so you could feast on the beautiful colors. Whatever, doesn't matter. And you were surprised by the poke you got. And those pokes are not without their pain. I mean, doggone it, when's the last time you got poked by a thorn? It hurts, can draw blood, can make you feel out of sorts, even for just a few minutes. But the idea is we know that roses, generally, the stems on roses, will have thorns. A lot of times when you go into the florist, they've dethorned them. Usually if they put them into an arrangement, the thorns have been removed. I used to know a few people that worked in flower shops, and they actually told me they did that. They'd stand there and dethorn the roses before they put them into the case for us to pick out, or before they put them into the display that was going to be delivered somewhere. So the thought is, roses may come with thorns. However, if you looked at the thorn as the thing that comes with the roses, the shift of perspective there then becomes, wow, such a wicked little thing as a thorn carries such beauty. It has a rose attached to it. And I paused for a second because that way of being able to move through the experience literally makes all the difference in the world as to what type of experience you're having. So let's take you to a time that I had, oh gosh, November-ish, December-ish of last year, and I was walking through the local grocery store, got to the area where I picked up the last item, and normally I check out at the opposite end of the store. Why? Because I'm usually parked at the opposite end of the store, and that is generally, for me, the area where the lanes are the quickest to go through. The area where I was is generally not that quick, and I normally have more than 15 items, which is the little tile that's hanging above your head that says, if you have 15 items or less, come in here. Well, I only had like 5 or 6 items. It wasn't a lot. And I was standing right there. And the guy who was in front of me was getting ready to walk away. I was like, sweet. So I put everything on the conveyor belt. You know, put your bags there. You put your rewards card up. You know, you get everything, coupons, get everything in line, so that as soon as the clerk gets everything, they can just whip you right through, because, hey, that's 90% of the battle of getting through the checkout lane quickly. Do you have all your ducks in a row? So that's pretty darn grateful. I mean, yeah, I still was parked at the other end of the store, and I still might have been in line quicker had I walked down there. But the point is, I was grateful that all this fell into place. I got into line. The woman at the checkout, hi, how you doing? Fine, how you doing? And that's usually the only store I shop at. So they know me. You know, I'm there every week. They know who I am. They know me by name. I know them usually by name because it says so right on their name tag. And one of the things that she said as she was handing me, well, she wasn't handing me, she was leaning over the little roundabout where they have their bags, and I always bring my own, so I usually don't use their plastic bags, to put my cloth bag in my cart, she had to move it around the walker that I had standing up in the cart. And she looked at me, she said, oh, I'm so sorry, you have to use a walker. And I thought, I don't know why you're sorry, I have to use a walker, kind of like, I'm sorry, your rose has thorns. I said, my gosh, I give that walker a workout. For anything, you should feel sorry for the walker. Think about the rose and the thorns. I'm laughing, I'm trying not to, because it's kind of funny to me. But if you look at the rose and you say, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry you have thorns. The idea here is the thorns should feel badly that everybody wants to pay attention to the rose. Nobody wants to pay attention to them. In fact, they want to get rid of them. They want to hack them off. They want to throw them away. Those thorns, they don't help at all. Now, imagine you're a rose. And you're out in the garden and you're growing. And I don't know how many of you have ever watched roses grow. I'm not real well versed in it. I've had 2 experiences with roses growing on my property. The first was a bush that trellised outside my kitchen window in a home that I owned in Michigan. And it was really beautiful because they were little teeny tiny roses. They were maybe the size of a half dollar when they bloomed and opened all the way. And it was very pretty to see all these roses. You know, you'd walk by the side of the house, you'd think, wow, that's really sharp. And the people who had owned the home had like 2 or 3 trellises, you know, spaced nicely. And each trellis held a different color rose. Now, I never picked them. First of all, I don't get along well with flowers around me. I have a tendency to not feel well when I inhale their fragrances. So I like the fact that they stay outside. I stay inside, the roses stay outside, and they're very pretty. They add color and design to the side of my house, so I like them out there. And they were friends to the bees and the hummingbirds and or whoever it was that hung around the roses and liked them so well. So that I was good with the roses being there and me being inside. So I didn't know if the bush that the roses grew on had thorns in it or not. Never checked. The other experience I had was outside of a home that I rented in Ohio for a number of years. There was this one long stem that grew up out of the ground in the front of the house, and every year, one perfect coral rose. If you check out the logo for the station, the network, the Perspective Power Radio Network, it is that rose. It is that very rose. In the 13 years I was in that house, the rose only ever bloomed more than one rose on that stalk or on that stem once. Now, it bloomed once in the beginning of the year, and then it bloomed again towards the end of the season. But there was only ever one rose, and that stem was filled with thorns. I am imagining that the reason the thorns are on the stem of the rose is to protect the rose, so that people just don't walk right up and grab it. Somebody said to me once, well, maybe that was just where other roses would have popped out, but all the energy went to that one big, beautiful rose. I don't know. It didn't appear to me that, like, it was a bush, that it should have been a bush. It was just a stem, like people see a long-stemmed single rose at the store. And it was quite a tall rascal, several feet tall, and then, boom, this beautiful coral-colored rose on the top of it. So I imagine that the roses enjoy the thorns because the thorns protect them. We don't like thorns because we want to grab the stem and hold on to it, and the thorns prevent us from doing that. So now let's take a look at the walker. I like the walker. The walker is there to help me with my mobility. The walker protects me because if I am standing in between the sides that you hang on to on the walker, it's sort of a barrier between me and reckless people. And I'll use the example of reckless people, but in a way that you wouldn't necessarily consider to be a problem. A few years ago, I went to an elementary school to hear a couple of local authors read their stories. They write children's books, and they write very nice children's books. And they told me they did these presentations in the schools where they go in and they set up PowerPoint of all the different pages of the book so it shines up on the screen, kind of helps when you're reading to a lot of children. You don't have to let, they can't all see the book that you're holding up. But when the PowerPoint presentation was up above, all they had to do was look up. So one of the authors manned the PowerPoint presentation while the other author read the story out loud and held the book open so the kids could, you know, there was an open book there if the kids wanted to look at him or they wanted to look at the screen. Have you ever been around a group of overly excited children who are in a place where they can pretty much run from one end of it to the other, like a gymnasium or a playground or a grocery store sometimes? They are so caught up in their enthusiasm, they don't usually pay attention to what's around them. If it's in their way, one of three things is going to happen. If they hit it, they're either going to bounce off of it, or they're going to fall down, or the thing that they hit, if it's movable, like I'm a movable thing, I'm a person, I'm not a brick wall, I might fall down. But either way, they're not pondering that as they move around. So that day that I was there, there were quite a few young children. And they were, true to the form of young children, racing about in their excitement and their enthusiasm. Had I not had that walker around me, I would have gotten hit probably five or six times by these children. Now, granted, I'm not a tiny person, and I'm not the size of a little kid, meaning I'm not their age. Chances are, just being me standing there, they wouldn't have knocked me down. But because of my instability, they very well could have, in their enthusiasm. Had the walker not been there, the very thing that the clerk looked at me and said, oh, I'm so sorry, you have to use that. I thought, oh, you have no idea the times that comes in handy. No idea the times that comes in handy. So she was looking at my life as a rose and the walker as a thorn. I was looking at the thorn and saying, thank goodness I have this, because that helps me enjoy my life. Probably the same thing, a rose by any other name, right? So when you're looking at your happiness in your life, and you're looking at what you're grateful for, the more you can experience the gratitude in your life for anything, anything. Maybe you don't need to use a walker. Maybe you're somebody that uses a walker, but you don't need a wheelchair. And you look at people that use wheelchairs, you think, oh, man, that's horrible. That person's got to use a wheelchair. I have a friend in Ohio who recently had both of her knees replaced. Prior to this, she was in excruciating pain. I talk to her usually every week. And the last 8 months before she had the surgery, every time I spoke with her, she was in tears, literally in tears. She'd go to move, ow, 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 ow. She'd go to stand up, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. And she was just so distracted by the fact that this pain was unbearable. And she looked forward to the surgery, had the surgery, and, you know, it's everybody's surgery goes differently. In her particular surgery, she wasn't prepared for how things were going to be, and she was actually scared she was never going to get back to normal, as she called it. And one of the things that she employs to get her around, to keep her moving, is a wheelchair. She has a walker, she has a wheelchair, she has a cane, and she relies a lot on that wheelchair. And she said to me when I spoke to her yesterday on the phone, she said, you know, Annette, I used to look at people that had wheelchairs and I used to feel sorry for them. Now I look at people who have trouble walking and they don't have wheelchairs and I feel sorry for them. See, at one point, the wheelchair to her was the thorn. And it used to drive her nuts that people had to have these things. Now the wheelchair to her is the rose. Or it's the thorn that allows her the opportunity to enjoy the roses in her life, which is just her mobility. That's her way of putting it all together, the mashup that works for her. So I don't recommend that everybody run out and get a wheelchair, you know, not. And I don't recommend that everybody go and have their knees replaced, not saying that either. But when you look at where your life is and what your life offers you, and you make the decision to make the choice of whether or not that particular thing, situation, person, energy, fill in the blank, is your hindrance or your hope, it really doesn't matter how anybody else sees it, because people are going to see it differently. The lady at the store sees the walker differently than I do. My friend Becky sees the wheelchair differently even than she saw it just a few months ago. Henry Ford once said, and I know I'm going to screw the quote up, so forgive me if I don't get it perfect. The gist of it is, whether you think you can or you can't, you're right. So let's think of this. Whether you think it works or it doesn't, you're right. Whether you think it's helpful or it's not, you're right. Whether you see it as good or bad, you're right. In fact, they attribute that thought to Shakespeare. Nothing is either right or wrong, but believing makes it so. And again, if I've misquoted anybody, I don't mean to. I'm just letting you know where I believe I read it or heard it. So please, by all means, you know, search that rascal out and find the absolute quotable quote on all those things. But the idea here is this is not new. This is not just energy that we spoke on the last show about the study that Dr. Brené Brown did years ago, and it took her 12 years to do this study about which came first, happiness or gratitude. And she found gratitude will breed happiness. And it's generally not the other way around. We withhold our gratitude until something that makes us happy comes along. The way she looked at it was the people who were the happiest were those who found reasons to be grateful. And they were happy, even if the reason they were grateful at that moment was they had salt to put on their food. Didn't matter what they were salting. They had salt. They were grateful for that. So they found this happiness. They fostered this happiness. They grew this happiness. They created this happiness inside of themselves. Oh, quite the amazing thought process here. Because what this does when we utilize exact same thinking for anything in our lives, our health, our finances, our relationships, there's a resistance level that drops. we are open to receiving some really great things out there. Maybe stuff that we've been wishing would come our way for the longest time, the absolute longest time. The person, the conversation that I saw on Facebook, it's been a long time since this individual has, you know, had free mobility or felt really, really good. I get that. You know, when you're living with a chronic condition, whether it's poverty or it's your health or it's a job that you're in and it's just absolutely making you wish that you had another line of work, it can wear on you. However, I also remember reading and do a search on Nelson Mandela. And he spent all those years in prison. And yet he came out of those years in prison to end up being the president of the very country who imprisoned him. How did he survive all those years in prison? If you research what he talks about, how he got through his everyday, what helped him get to the other side of all of that, it will literally show you that it was mind over matter, what he talks about, where his head was at, what he chose to do with the thorns in his life, the people that he chose to forgive, they were just doing their job. The situations that he chose to see as helpful to him as opposed to hindering him. Now, I am convinced that he probably didn't think he was really ever going to get out of that prison, that he might never live to see what was on the other side of it. But he did. And when he did, and he stepped out of there a free man, he used every ounce of his gratitude and his energy to work at helping other people find happiness in their life too. He couldn't give them happiness. He couldn't make happiness for them. But he could help them find the happiness within their own lives. And he did. It was amazing. Dalai Lama, who is not allowed to set foot back in the country where he was born, because they'll kill him. He has to live in virtual exile because there are people there that would take him down, even after all these years. The man's no spring chicken. He's been around a couple, three decades. But he still finds his happiness. He still finds it because he chooses to see the opportunity to not be in one place where everyone has to come to him. He gets to go everywhere. He gets to travel. He gets to meet people. He gets to spread that word. He's not just some guru sitting on a mountaintop somewhere that everybody thinks it's impossible to get to know and or that many people, many more people than not, can't find because he's way up there and they're way over here or out there or down there or wherever they are. So is it a rose or a thorn? Is he upset because his life keeps him doing this? Or is he grateful because he has the opportunity to do that? The quote today came from Jean-Baptiste Alphonse Carr, and that's Carr, K-A-R-R, who is a French journalist and a novelist. And if you look up, he was alive in the 1800s. And the quote again was, "Some people grumble that roses have thorns, but I am grateful that thorns have roses." We've been talking a lot about that today. I've been talking a lot about that today. And if you've got some thoughts on that that you'd like to share, you're welcome to share them with me. You don't have to. You're welcome to share them with the Perspective Power community and find them on Facebook, Perspective Power. Go to facebook.com/perspectivepower and chime in. Post it on your wall if you care to. Send it out through Twitter. I mean, you know, it to me, I know a lot of people that run groups and have people that connect with them, whether it's Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram. They like a lot of the interaction, and I do too. I mean, it's great to interact with people. But I think your inner, and I'm pointing like to the center of my chest, your inner action will make a bigger difference in many ways because that vibration is going to go out and it's going to ripple effect all the way around. And I may never know that it was your gratitude that did that. I may never know you. I may never meet you, shake your hand, friend you on Facebook, accept your friend request on Facebook. That may never happen. But what you do with what you feel, I will feel. I never knew Jean-Baptiste Alphonse Carr. But what he concluded ages and ages ago, what he brought to the forefront with his thought processing and the way he made his statement, that affects me here today. Well over 100 years later, well over 100 years after his death, almost 200 years after his birth, this affects me. Still, the ripple effect is still there. And I would hazard a guess that in his life and times, because there wasn't any such thing as the internet, most people didn't go around listening to the radio to pick up what was going on in the world. I'll bet he didn't have a lot of people interacting with this thought. But what I will bet is this. It gave him enough energy. It lit him up enough to be that lighthouse in the dark that other people, the ships, being real analogous here, saw but didn't realize where it was coming from, didn't even realize what was causing it. And they got through whatever it was they were looking to get through. Their lives were enhanced by it. He was a rose when the thorns needed something, and life's thorns gave him a reason to appreciate those moments when he understood that if you look at the top of the long stem with the thorns, you're going to find the rose. Look up that long stem in your life where all those thorns are. Look up there. There's going to be a rose at the top of it. If there isn't, a rose once was there. But the idea here is you have the power by using your perspective to see the roses or the thorns, to appreciate the roses or the thorns. You could appreciate both. They both have their purpose. They both have their reason. They both have their value. And what's funny is when you can appreciate the value of the roses and the thorns, the roses or the thorns, just the thorns, just the roses, however you slice that bread, that ability to learn to appreciate so many other things in your life becomes possible. If you can't find the appreciation for your physical circumstances right now, stop doing it. Just don't even put yourself through it. Find something you can appreciate. Soft at the top, hard in the middle. It's got a stick in the center so you can hold it. It's got a soft, cushy top so you can use it, not hurt yourself. You can appreciate the stick as well as the top of the Q-tip. If all you do is find something that inherently simple to practice your attitude of gratitude with, and you sincerely own it, and you feel it, you believe it, you turn that perception on, bam, I promise you, the possibility of being able to get through all those other things in your life is going to be handed you on a silver platter. And not only is it possible, you will prove that it works. Because once you've attained that success, it is replicatable. And then when some people grumble that roses have thorns, you're going to show them how to be grateful that thorns have roses. It's like, I'm so darn grateful that you're here. I'm grateful that you've given me your energy during this program, because I could hear the heads nod, I could feel the hearts beat a little quicker, I could feel the sighs, I could sense the release as everything rolled off your shoulders. So I appreciate it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I appreciate the great theme music provided by award-winning artist David Martinka. And that when you visit his website, redbellymusic.com, or the other site, sunshadows.net, you'll find free downloads as well as great CDs. And remember that this show goes into archive within 3 minutes of me hitting the stop button. So the podcast is going to be available 24/7 right here on the Perspective Power Radio Network.